This is R.A. Mihailov, Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3. You are listening to Kill Pop Culture.
This is Michael Berryman, and you are listening to Kill Pop Culture.
Yeah, hey, this is Bill Moseley, and you're listening to Kill Pop Culture. And lick my plate, you dog bitch!
Hey, this is John Anderson, Ravager from Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, and we're here doing a shameless plug for all the kids of pop culture. Thanks a lot, guys. Keep doing what you're doing.
This is celebrity and character artist Matthew Ashley, and you're listening to Kill Pop Culture.
This is Josh TKO Turner, pro wrestler, also from AMC's hit show The Walking Dead. Check out Kill Pop Culture Podcast.
We did a little intro at HorrorCon, but there's a couple of things, time travel wise, now that it's all said and done, that I wanted to touch upon.
Do you have any time travel music? Like,
I could dub some time travel stuff.
Time travel music in there.
First off, I wanted to thank all of our listeners because episode one of HorrorCon is doing very well.
Yeah.
I was telling y'all this earlier. I uploaded that episode late Wednesday night, like probably 10 or 11, maybe. Yeah. And I was on vacation. I took time out of my vacation to edit and upload the podcast. I hope everybody appreciates that.
We do.
I didn't want it to get, you know, stale. I didn't want people thinking, my God, when are y'all going to upload that stuff? But within just a couple of days, we were in the triple digits on downloads. So
that's sweet.
Yeah, it's doing really well, and I'm excited about that. And we still got a bunch of good stuff coming up. Another thing I wanted to bring up is we talked about the contest that we're doing. We haven't had very many people enter. But don't be shy to enter that contest because it's a cool prize package. You've got a signed HorrorCon poster. You've got Michael Berryman and Bill Moseley signed it. We have a signed copy of Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3, signed by R.A. Mihailov, Leatherface himself. And one thing I wanted to add is you don't have to live close by to be a winner. We will mail it to you.
Yeah.
Because we're probably going to have to mail it anyway unless you're my neighbor. Right. I don't think he even knows what a podcast is.
Or if you buy some beer or brandy.
Yeah. So be sure you send us an email in case you didn't listen to episode 1. And if you didn't, you really need to. It's really good. You got to send us an email, killpopculture69@gmail.com, and the subject line, just put HorrorCon so we know, you know, which email it is. It's not a bill collector or anything like that. In the body of the email, tell us why you deserve to win, you know, your favorite, you know, HorrorCon, your horror.
Favorite horror movie. Your...
Get your nerd on horror.
Exactly. Get your nerd on.
Nerd out with some horror.
Yeah, right.
Be a horror nerd. And also, just for my benefit, I wanted you to put your favorite Kill Pop Culture episode and tell us why. So you're having to work for this one, but you're also getting a really cool deal. And it's not just a random drawing like some of the other contests have been. This is actually going to go be reviewed in
a panel of
judges. We're going to create a panel, which is basically just probably going to be us arguing over which one should win.
And we'll know you listen to the podcast.
The best answer wins.
Yeah.
And we'll know you listen to the podcast instead of just...
So it's not just fate or luck. You can actually earn this one.
Right.
Another thing I wanted to mention is when we post a podcast on Facebook, I try to tag everybody and everything I can think about that we mentioned or talked about or interviewed. But anybody can tag, like if there's an episode that comes out and one of you listeners thinks that one of your friends will really like it, tag them in it. All you got to do is under comments, put the little at symbol and start typing their name, and it comes up and you click on it and it tags them in it.
Sweet.
Which I'm preaching to the choir. I'm sure like all our listeners know how to use Facebook better than me, but
I just learned
about the tag thing recently, and I'm really excited about it. I'm like, I tag all my friends and stuff. Like, if there's like a cool Slayer video or something, I'll tag Sean in it. If you're tagged in an episode, I'm not just spamming you. It's because we probably mentioned you. You know, for example, when we talked to Kim Coleman from 1817, we talked about all the restaurants that his beer is in. Well, I tagged all of them because we talked about them. We brought their name up, so. The first interview we're going to jump into here from HorrorCon is my friend Dustin Edmondson. I have to, and I'm glad we do this like this post-time travel stuff, because I have a correction. In this interview, we talk about American Horror Story. That is not by AMC, it's FX. I think we said AMC on the
right,
interview.
Yeah.
But FX does American Horror Story. So there's a correction there. Yeah, you need to... speaking of Dustin, like, the entire Slender movie, and we talk about this in the interview, is on YouTube now, and you can just watch it for free. And I'm not just telling you to watch it because I do a cameo in it. Like, I think you should watch it because it's a cool movie.
All right, Mississippi HorrorCon, day two.
Day two.
We finally got our equipment problems sorted out. I think we had a bad power supply to the PreSonus. But I was kind of scared for a second there, because without a PreSonus, there is no podcast. Yeah. I would be doing all these interviews today with my cell phone.
Yeah, that wouldn't be...
And we got some pretty big interviews lined up for the day. I'm looking forward to that. It feels a little cooler in here today than it was yesterday. I guess they got the air conditioner fixed. Yeah. Oh, and plus we brought a fan. That helps. Yeah. Had a good day yesterday. We wrapped up around, 7 o'clock?
Yeah,
a little earlier?
Yeah, something like that.
Wrapped up and went to the Nautical Whimsy. I had some fried ravioli and a mango wheat 1817 beer. It was really good.
It was amazing.
You had a... Tell them about your makeup thing yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You were in a makeup... You are a model.
Yeah, I was.
Did you do your little turn on the catwalk?
I did.
You kind of look like Rod said Fred. Well, just because you're bald.
Yeah, that's probably it. I'm not near as buff. But.
They're not either anymore, I don't think.
Yeah.
I saw one of them the other day at Walmart.
I believe that.
He was too sexy for the store.
Right. But no, yesterday I had to do... I had to be a canvas, a model for the amateur face-off competition they did. And what they do is they basically give you crappy makeup to work with. So that, like, they got the Halloween makeup from Walmart to use. So ended up one of our winners for the tickets for the HorrorCon actually entered into it, and I had to let her pack my face up.
You look really gnarly. Look, you had your ass kicked pretty bad.
Yeah, you know what? You know what? We actually, because you know when you paint something or whatever, you name it. She named it "Don't Burn My Toast Again."
Don't burn my toast again.
Yeah.
I like that. Now, I guess the idea behind the contest was, and I think Josh talked about this, is, you know, you could probably, if you're good at makeup and stuff, you can do a lot when you have, like, professional quality equipment. But
Yeah.
I think the idea was behind the contest was, like, see what you can do with, like, Walmart-bought makeup.
Right.
Which, the ones I saw looked really good, and I was surprised that you can do that with Walmart makeup.
Yeah, I looked like I had a hell beat out of me. She did a really good job.
Yeah, there's some
that.
Pictures on our Facebook.
Yeah.
Still kind of early. Well, the thing went on till midnight last night.
Oh, yeah.
They did the zombie prom, and it picked up a lot around 6:30 when they did the trick-or-treat thing.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that many trick-or-treaters. But we wound up giving away like 100 stickers, because every time the kids would come trick-or-treat, we'd either give them or their parents some Kill Pop Culture stickers.
Are we out of the flyers completely?
No, I've got like maybe 10 more.
Uh-huh.
I need to print some more of those. Don't let me forget. Next appearance we do. All right. Well, we're here. We're settled in. We did an intro. Day two.
Ready. Player one.
All right. I'm sitting here with my good friend and fellow Hatleyan, right? Aren't
yeah,
you from Hatley?
Yeah, originally from Hatley. Yeah. We're living in Fulton now.
Oh, you moved
to
Fulton?
Yeah, okay. After I got married, okay. We moved up to Fulton.
I tell people I live in the Copper Triangle. It's a little corner between Hatley, Smithville, and Amory.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not nice enough to be called the Golden Triangle.
Right.
It's
but
Copper
it's,
Triangle.
Yeah, it's just kind of right there.
It's not a precious metal, right. But there's metal there.
There's enough cow manure there to just kind of tarnish
and
it.
And really bad tap water.
Yeah. Exactly, yep.
Hope the Hatley tap water people aren't listening to this.
Yeah.
I hear they're fans.
Yep.
Man, I've been wanting to get you on the show for a long time
now
because
yeah.
I
I guess me and you met when you were working on Slender.
Yes, that was, what, 3 or 4 years ago?
Yeah.
I think so.
It was weird because I had talked to you, I think on the phone, I think I called you.
Yeah.
I got your number from Ray Van Dusen because we did an interview with him.
That's right.
And he had just interviewed y'all. Yep. And I was like, man, I'd like to get them on the show.
Yeah.
And then ironically, like the next day, you were at the Mexican restaurant. As I was walking in,
we kind of interacted. Yep. I remember, was it El Toro? That's like the meeting place.
Of course. It's like the Walmart of Mexican food.
For sure. Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I've been wanting to get on here and do this podcast. It's been a long time coming, for sure. Just with everything going on with the distribution thing of the film and not, you know.
Let's get into that just for a little bit, because a lot of people don't know about that. You made this awesome movie. I haven't seen it yet, but I'm going to watch it now that I have the flyer.
Yes, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I actually have a small cameo in that movie, I believe.
Yes, you do.
In the Sane Asylum. I was one of the inmates, which is very fitting, by the
way.
Very fitting for us.
Yeah.
Tell us about that, because the movie, it's gotten great reviews, and then the last time I saw you, I was like, well, when is it coming out? You're like, it's frozen.
Yeah, it's basically been in limbo for a long time now, because we wanted to see if we could, monopolize off of it a little bit. And basically what happened, I don't know if you heard, a couple of years ago, it's right after we released the film, or right before, there was two girls in Wisconsin. They took their friend out to the woods. I think they were about 11 years old. Uh-huh. I don't know if the other one was younger, but they were reading stuff online about Slender, and they took their friend out to the woods and coerced her out there and started to stab her 19 times. And so she somehow survived, but they thought that if they killed her, that Slenderman would come visit them and take them to his mansion and stuff. So after that, the guy that made Slenderman, he originally had it public domain because he wanted people to make films and do stuff with it.
Such as you did, yeah.
Yeah, and right after that event occurred, he immediately put a copyright on Slenderman image and name. And
because of American Horror Story, right?
Yeah, I believe he sold it to HBO, or sold it. Who was it that did American Horror Story? Was that A&E?
Is it HBO that does American Horror Story?
AMC, I think. Yeah, one of those.
Whoever.
Yeah. So yeah, I think they did something with Slender Man. Either way, I know they did. HBO did a documentary on the girls, and then Warner Brothers has just purchased the copyright to do a major film with it. I'm not sure what, if they're going to do like an actual Slender Man film or
but
what.
But the thing is, you did your movie when it was public domain.
Yeah.
So can you not slide in under that?
Unfortunately, you can't, because I talked to distributors, because we released the film and we marked it out to distributors, and they all came back contacting and saying, you know, we love this film, you know, we would love to distribute it, we would love to make you offer, but there's no way that we could possibly distribute this with the current copyright on it. And the reason it doesn't, there's no like grandfather clause with it. Like, what we should have done was did a poor man copyright, and where you just mail it to yourself.
And we do that in the music business all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's kind of, you have to do a fail safe, but we've learned from that, you know, and we're going on to doing some more original films.
Well, let me ask you this. What if, and this is a what if, but what if you had released it before all that happened, like the day before? Would you have gotten sued, or would you have been in the clear?
Well, the day before, I think we would have been in the clear, because it just depended on when the copyright was official.
Wow.
Yeah, because we were unaware of it until we tried to distribute, and it was made clear to us that it was pretty recent that it had been copyrighted. So that's part of what you learn within the industry, and that was, you know, we actually, on the film panel we did earlier for low budget filmmaking, that was one of the things we said, was that like if you're gonna do a film or anything based off something that could ever potentially, that's public domain, that could ever potentially become copyrighted, just go ahead and go the other way and do something original, you know.
Yeah.
Which is what we've learned. And we got some more stuff that's coming down the pipeline that's completely original, that I think we can monopolize off of, and we can use Slender for exposure, you know.
Yeah, I guess that would be the silver lining, is that now you're basically
given away for free, yeah, from what I understand.
Yep. And people love free stuff, so, you know, they go check, yep, it out, and, you know, that's word of mouth, you know, it spreads like wildfire.
And that'll strum up business, you, yeah, know, for your future project.
Absolutely.
Which I wanted to segue into. What, yeah, what are you working on now? What are you promoting now?
We just got through doing a short film. We're not venturing off into feature length just yet. I got one more short we're going to do, and then we're going to do a feature length. We just got finished one called The Getaway. We shot it last summer, and we finished production, I think, that fall, and then I worked on the score for 6 months, and now we just finished it, and we're premiering it here at the con this weekend, actually in an hour. So, it's basically...
Hey, don't you have copies of that for sale here, too?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. We just have $5. It's 18... I think the film's like 18 minutes, close to 20 minutes, okay, long. But basically, without giving anything away, the kind of short synopsis of it is... you see this young guy and girl, and it's kind of assumed that they killed her parents, and they're running. They're kind of going to hide out from the law for a little bit. And the guy's got a friend that he stays at his lake house while he's gone, you know, to stay low. But there's someone watching them, like neighbors. There, guys watching them, and things kind of take a turn. And there's a twist in there. That,
okay.
Yep.
Is there a place we can go watch the trailer?
Yes. It should be online on YouTube right now. The Getaway teaser trailer. I believe it's on YouTube. And I think we posted it on 3/4 Pictures page. That's Dylan's. It's actually my buddy's film that he directed.
Okay.
Dylan Scott. And his production company is 3/4 Pictures. But you look that up, page up on Facebook, you can go to it, like it, and there's the link to the teaser, to the trailer. So we have that. The next one we're working on is one of my personal project they're working on, and I can get into that, but you know, I'll tell you about that later.
Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, I like the super secret stuff that you have to save.
Yeah,
and come back
to. absolutely. Let's just say this next one is gonna be a little ambitious. It's gonna be a period piece. It's gonna take place in the Civil War era.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I got my beard grown out. What do you call them?
Extra.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Or crazy person too.
Crazy person.
Yeah, we had crazy
extra.
Persons back then too. So yeah.
Well, did they have overweight people back then?
I'm sure they did.
Okay,
I'm sure people getting into the
if you need another body, just throw me in.
I'll go in there too.
Awesome, man. Well, I don't want to keep you because you've had customers
fine,
all day long.
That's fine.
But yeah, let's come back and do it again.
Yeah,
Halloween season will be here before you know
yes.
it. And like you're just right up the road in Fulton.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, definitely, man.
Awesome.
I would love to.
I'm going to go check out Slender right now, and I encourage all of our listeners to do the same and go check out this new film. Is there a place they can buy it online? The short?
Not yet. If they go to Facebook and go and look up 3/4 Pictures, it's just spelled 3/4 of the word, the letters,
okay.
the letters out pictures, and like that page, then we'll be releasing a link to go to the full film soon. So
nice.
Yep.
All right, man. Well, thanks for dropping by for a few minutes. So you're going to be around tomorrow, too?
Yes, I will.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Thanks again, bro.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Pop
Culture. Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
All right, tip number two, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Shelby Pryor, and I'm with the Tupelo Lee Humane Society.
Awesome, if I can get my microphone to quit messing up. Yeah, I saw y'all here yesterday. Y'all had some dogs and some cats. Did you have any luck giving any away?
Not yet. We had a good few donations, including animal toys. That was fine. But we really need the adoptions more than anything else.
Where's the Tupelo Humane Society located, like the main?
It's on South Gloucester Street, right across the street from Sunshine Dog Food Mills.
Okay.
Like you're going towards Verona, right before that stoplight.
Okay. Zoom area.
The old zoo area?
The old zoo area.
You don't know. It's okay. Well, tell people a little bit about how they can help out with the Humane Society, just to raise awareness. Do y'all have social media, like a website?
We do have a Facebook and an Instagram, but we really need volunteers and fosters more than anything, especially now during the summer. We have a lot of dogs coming up, breeding, a lot of people wanting to breed their dogs or not wanting to get their dogs fixed, but the dogs keep coming up pregnant.
Yep.
And we're stuck with those little babies and everything, and we love them to death, but it's a lot to take in. We're an open admission shelter, and so anything and everything that comes in through that door, we have to take in. And we are currently overpacked with over 200 animals.
Wow. I hear that from a lot of the humane societies in every city, that they're overpopulated. Do you think that's the biggest problem, is that people just aren't responsible enough to spay and neuter their animals?
I know it's sad to say. I know a lot of people think that it's just mean to get their animal fixed, but it's really not. It's really beneficial for the dog and for the pet population, because with male dogs, they can get testicular cancer if they aren't fixed. And any unfixed male is just going to wander off eventually. Even if he stays outside in your yard, he's going to wander off when he smells a female, and they can smell it up to 2 to 3 miles away. And a male dog searching for a female will go days without eating just to try to reproduce, and he will starve himself to death in search of a mate.
Wow. And dogs don't just have one,
they have multiple.
Yeah, multiple.
Yes. And he's not just going to stop at one. He's going to find and impregnate as many animals as he can, and he will starve himself doing so. That's just how they work. With that testosterone hits, it's just mate, mate, mate. That's all they think about. A stray dog will not stop to eat if a female dog is around.
Wow. What's the biggest need at the shelter other than adoption? Like dog food and...
Puppy chow, kitten chow right now is the main things that we're needing. We have a lot of adult dogs, but we have way more puppies and kittens than we know how to do with. And we've got some fosters and everything. We work close with rescues. We had a rescue just a few weeks ago. We sent 92 animals.
Wow.
And that only helped us just a little. We still are overpacked. Every cage is full at the shelter. Every foster that we currently have has over 5 animals at their house.
Now, do y'all help with the spay and neutering at your facility, or are y'all in conjunction with the vets?
We work with a low-cost spay and neuter clinic. It's over on Cliff Gookin. It's not, you know, with us, but at the new shelter that we're hoping to have built by the end of this year, we'll have a spay and neuter clinic in the facility.
Okay.
So hopefully that will help get the animals fixed faster and adopted quicker. Because most people, they want a dog, they want to be able to take it home that day. So if we have it at the facility, we'll be able to get it fixed, get it out on the floor, and you can take it home if you adopt it.
Cool. Was this your first con to be at? I know you're cosplaying today. I thought you were Link at first.
Zombie Link.
Zombie Link, okay.
Yes.
I knew there was something different.
This is not my first convention. I've been to the comic cons that have been here for 2 years now, and this is my first horror con, but still very fun. My boss told me I was allowed to dress up, and I went all out.
Awesome. I like it. Well, thanks for coming by for a minute and tell us about everything. We'll definitely plug it to our listeners. We got a lot of listeners in the North Mississippi area. If y'all need y'all just have dogs and cats, so I'm sure that's the main thing. But
we, like I said, we're open admission, so we do get hamsters. We've gotten squirrels, raccoons, and possums.
Some gerbils. A few pythons.
We get a lot in. Now, mostly with wild animals like that, we do call a wildlife rehabilitation center. We don't try to adopt them out. We know people can't handle a wild animal. You can't just domesticate that.
Have you ever had anybody that had like a boa constrictor or a python that was like, I just can't handle this thing and drop it off?
We have had calls about a python and everything. They have wanted to drop it off, but with cases like that, because we're not exactly properly equipped for that.
They may not interact well with the other animals.
Yeah.
Especially the smaller ones.
Oh yeah.
That could be tragic.
But we just go ahead and tell them the number to the wildlife relocation center, and they go ahead and go from there.
Okay, great. Well, thanks again for stopping by for a minute. Everybody get over there and adopt a cat or a dog or both today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I had a real good time talking to Andy Field. He is the voiceover actor from Five Nights at Freddy's. That's a very popular video game right now. But one thing I wanted to One thing I wanted to say about that interview is something weird happened with our equipment when I first started recording this interview, and I didn't know it at the time. It's weird. I guess the ghost of HorrorCon got in the equipment because it sounded like our voices were sped up with like some distortion. Like it's the craziest thing. But luckily, it only happened for like a few minutes. Like it didn't ruin the interview. Like it cleared itself up after just a few minutes. So I said that to say this: if it sounds like this interview started like in the middle of a conversation, because it did, I had to delete the first part of it. But when the interview starts, we're actually talking about the game Five Nights at Freddy's, and he's describing like some of the scares and how it feels like scary wise in the game and stuff like that. So it's had a really good time talking to him. I really liked picking his brain because, you know, he does voiceovers, and this is a podcast, so those two worlds are like really collide. Yeah, they're really right. Similar. And I mean, we're essentially doing just a low quality voiceover ourselves. Our podcast is, you know, the quality doesn't have to be as good, but it's still just voice work.
Hence why I lowered my voice.
And we really picked his brain about instruments and software and plugins. I didn't put much of that in the interview because I don't think the listeners would have cared much about it, but I really enjoyed picking his brain about some of that stuff, and I definitely think we'll be hearing from him again. He's from here in Mississippi, so.
The things that are really terrifying, like you think, where's the scaredest you've ever been in your life? And it's your bedroom when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Right? And, you know, where you have just a sheet, and that's your protection. And you have it over you as if that's anything.
Yeah.
And then imagine
the magic sheet that protects you from monsters.
Now imagine the sheet being lifted. Mm-hmm. Right? And so he hits that feeling a couple times in the games where you're like, oh, my gosh, this is going to be, oh, what the? And so I just watch other people play it, and that's a thing now, too.
Yeah.
We've got YouTubers out there who just play, and kids subscribe and watch them. And it's so fun to watch them play it and see the unique reactions every time. Because, you know, you only get the first-time impression one time when you play it. Yeah. When you see everybody else's, it's... I can see the legitimacy of being a pro gamer now that we have the ability to watch people from
Absolutely.
All around the world. It's pretty neat.
Well, the old games, they probably wouldn't have been fun to watch somebody else play. But, like, now it's like watching a movie almost.
Well, I can remember as a kid watching my brother play the Nintendo, and I could really just sit in the living room and watch him play it, you know? And he could sit in there and watch me play it. Of course, you always laugh when they die and all that stuff, too.
I would have done that differently.
Right. And these guys on YouTube are really, really have developed into world-class entertainers. You know, there's kids out there trying, and these guys have really good gear, and they're really funny. You know, they're just entertaining people. They've got good senses of humor, so they can make funny jokes on the fly.
Right.
And you know, so the really good ones really are just really good at entertaining. You know, when you think of Jacksepticeye and PewDiePie and Markiplier, and Markiplier was just named the most influential figure in gaming, I think, by Time magazine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guy's got like 15, 16 million subscribers.
Awesome.
He's the king of Five Nights at Freddy's, they say.
Well, you said it started out as an indie thing. At which game did it really catch on, or was it an instant hit, or did it catch on later and then everybody went back and played the first ones?
You know, I heard from someone the other day that Scott Cawthon was on his last legs. Like, this was it. I'm going to make this one last game, and if it flops, I'm just going to have to go back to getting a real job. They've only been around for like 3 years now. Like, he's made 5-6 games in the past 3 years.
Wow.
I mean, he's made a couple a year for a while. And has kind of indicated lately that he's taken a break. But the first game, I think, was a big enough hit to make the second. And then I heard that the fifth game was the first one with any real voice acting in it.
Okay.
He was the voice actor in the first two games. He was just kind of the phone guy that called in and gave you the directions. I heard that he was making $12,000 a day just off the Apple App Store before our game came out.
Wow.
And that's not counting the merchandising. By that point, he already had a novel. The second novel just came out this summer. You know, all the T-shirts, the teddy bears, all that stuff.
Like you said, this is even in Walmart. Like, you can go to any store and there's
Walmart,
merchandise
Target,
from
Hot
this game.
Topic, Barnes & Noble. Do they?
5 packs.
You got the little action figures right over here across the way from us. You got the Funko just now. They've had some plushies, the Funko plushies and the Funko Pops. The sister location, the fifth game's plushies, just came out a couple weeks ago. You'll like this. And so if you want Funtime Foxy, that's an exclusive just to Walmart. You can't buy that one anywhere but Walmart. You can buy all of them everywhere. But there's a basket of exotic butters. and that's only at Hot Topic, and that's my favorite one because exotic butters is what I say in the game. So let me tell this story for the listeners. So as the game goes on, I'm the little funny computer guy. And so the running gag in the game, the only humor really in the game is me, because everybody else wants to kill you. So Scott Cawthon kind of gave me the direction. I kind of want a cheerful infomercial voice, which is really hilarious because I say some pretty hideous things like, it looks like Funtime Foxy's not on her stage. Let's motivate her with a controlled shock. And there's a smile in my voice, right?
Yeah.
Or I'm going to have to reboot the system. I'll be temporarily offline. While I'm offline, other systems will also be unavailable, like security doors, vent locks, and oxygen.
Yeah.
And then off we go, right? And you're the player going, wait, what? And then rebooting. And you're, what? Did he say oxygen? You know?
Yeah.
And so
I need
throughout
that.
The whole game are all these just hilarious lines said in this cheerful tone of voice that are just, you're like, wait, what did he say? So one of the gags is you have to input something on the keypad, and the keypad is impossible. The keys are all shaking on the screen. On one of them, you're trying to type in numbers, and there aren't even any numbers. And so as soon as you start typing, I say, it seems you had some trouble with the keypad. I see what you were trying to type, and I will auto-correct it for you. So on the first night, you try to type in your name, and I say, I'm going to auto-correct it for you. And I say, one moment. Welcome, Eggs Benedict. So your name is Eggs Benedict through the whole game, right? So on the second night, you have to choose whether you want a male voice or female or text only, and you can't type it in. And finally, it says, oh, thank you for choosing Angsty Teen. You know, so now you get it. So for a few minutes, you get like, yeah, whatever, get in the elevator, don't, I don't care. You know, you get this teenage voice. And then you get to choose music, and the music you end up with due to the autocorrect is casual bongos. And so all these terms have become these little memes along the way. Well, on the fifth night, I'm getting to the exotic butters. This is the build-up.
So the exotic butter backstory.
So on the fifth night, when you finally make it there, it says, you've earned your one-week bonus, which will be given to you in the form of a delightful gift basket, the cost of which will be taken out of your next paycheck. And we have flowers, fruit, cheese, and the ever-popular cash basket. Using the keypad below, please enter the first few letters of the gift basket you would like to receive. So, of course, you want to type cash, even though it's going to be taken out of your next check. And, of course, you screw it up, and he says, I see what you were trying to type. I will autocorrect it for you. Thank you for choosing exotic butters. So you get a basket of exotic butters. Well,
nice.
So you're just like, oh, that's great. So by this time, you're expecting the gag. So the reactions of all the YouTubers is pretty funny. When you win the game, you get a secret menu, and there's a little basket of butters on the screen. And if you click it, it says exotic butters. And that your Five Nights at Freddy's fans are listening to that going, oh, he said it. So Five Nights at Butters. Five Nights at Butters. Yeah. Exotic butters. Exotic butters. And then Markiplier, the big king of FNAF, was clicking on it and was going, exotic butters. And he says, how long before someone makes a remix of this? Within hours, fans were putting exotic butters remixes up on YouTube. So there's dozens, hundreds. So if you go to YouTube and type exotic butters remixes, it's so stupid and so funny.
Yeah.
And it's a hilarious thing, but this whole meme. And so now, like, I've got videos on YouTube from back when I was a math teacher. And there are fans that will comment on how to use algebra tiles, and they'll put exotic butters in the comments, right? It's everywhere.
That's
I've got
awesome.
A shirt that says it. And so now at Hot Topic, you can buy a plushy basket of exotic butters. The butters come out. I've autographed so many of those little
Are they edible?
Butters.
Like, is it really
no,
butter?
No, they're plushy.
So plushy, okay.
The girls over here at this booth have a basket of butters that they made. They're selling the little wooden butters for $2, and I've had fans bring them over to me to get them autographed.
That is awesome.
So, exotic butters.
You never know what's going to catch on.
Right, you know, it's insane. And so, fans come to me all the time. Did you know there's remixes? I'm like, yeah, I did. They're all over the place. So, but there's not a plushie of my little character. There's just plushies of the exotic butters. So just, but it's absolutely hilarious that has taken off.
When did you start getting into the voice acting? You said you were a math teacher at some point.
Yeah, I actually just quit my
teaching
job in
May. How does that transition take
place? I just went full-time voiceover in May. I just quit my job. I started about 3 years ago in late 13, so almost 4 years ago now. I got my first paid gig in early 14.
Okay.
I did zombie voices for the video game Contagion.
Okay.
I was highly underpaid. It was a very long, gruesome job. An hour and a half of very specific. We need 5 different sounds of a zombie getting shot in the head that are between 1/2 and 1 second long each, right? You know, the spreadsheet of just.
That gets
tedious. We need 3 different zombie running sounds between 1 and 2 seconds each. You know, well, what's a zombie supposed to sound like running, and how do you make 3 of them, you know?
Yeah.
Zombie climbing, zombie on fire, zombie drowning, zombie eating, zombie getting Zombie eating, zombie biting, zombie hitting, zombie idling, zombie dying.
Zombie eating exotic butter. Right,
zombie getting hit with baseball bat. You know, so all those, and it was just tons and tons of those things. So that was my first gig. And, you know, slowly but surely they started coming, a gig a month. My second gig was 17 minutes of narrating how to fill out IRS Form I-9. Spellbinding.
Wow.
It was awesome.
Do you ever get people to get you to autograph their IRS
forms? Oh, man, that would be, I'm going to get a stack of them.
That would be
table.
Awesome.
$5 a piece.
You know I'm that guy, right?
it was for some company. But really, I get more work of that, of the e-learning kind of stuff, than anything else, just because I'm in Mississippi. You know, there's not a lot of video game studios here.
Right.
You really want video game work. It's L.A. and Dallas are your big video game towns.
Isn't Atlanta starting to grow pretty big?
Atlanta's growing. There's some studios. But Dallas really is where Funimation and a lot of those are. Any kind of English dubbing over anime more than likely is happening in Dallas. So animation and video games. So I started with that. I was teaching. You know, I'd get off work and just go home and get in the studio and record. And, man, it's a nightmare. It's, you know, if a dog barks, if somebody wants to take a shower, you know, nobody can turn on the air conditioner while I'm recording. You know, just.
So you do some of this at home?
It's all at home.
You do all of it at home?
And I've got a great sounding
room.
That's
the cool thing about the technology now is like you can do that.
Well, and that's how I got started. My wife was imitating the announcer from Vaught-Hemingway Stadium one day. You know, I was in my house. I said, "That's another first down." And my wife, I wanted my whole family to say "Ole Miss," but they didn't. My wife said, "You should be an announcer guy." And as a teacher, you kind of need a side hustle, especially if you live in Oxford. We're really proud of real estate in Oxford, and it's expensive to live there. And so I Googled how to be a I didn't say announcer guy. I think it said voiceover artist. And, and truly, with today's technology, if you have a good mic, this is a good mic, and a decent treated room, and I had a walk-in closet full of clothes and hung up some foam mattress pads
dampening stuff,
and got to work. It's not soundproof, but it's sound treated, so you can, you know.
And you just do the raw audio and send it to somebody for the editing?
I do most of the editing, too.
You do the editing,
nowadays,
too?
If you're doing it from home, you need to send it an audition that sounds, you know, remembering that 150 people may audition for the same job.
Yeah.
Some of them are going to sound really good. And if yours doesn't sound good, you better be a phenomenal actor. And, you know, your first year of voice acting, you're probably not.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, I've had somebody tell me, if I get 100 auditions in, 90 are just going to sound bad. Out of the other 10, some are going to have great audio, some are going to have great acting, and then you'll finally get that one that nails both.
Right.
And sometimes you don't get the one that nails both, but the great audio, you know, you make it to the short list if you just at least have good sound. Because there's nothing that ruins a good video like bad audio.
Right.
And if you sound like you recorded it in your bathroom.
You know, all echoey and stuff.
You know, and I've had kids say to me, "Yeah, I'm getting started. I've got a microphone I bought at Walmart. It's one of those Skype microphones." Like,
yeah.
You know, you're not going to land a single gig.
What is your mic of choice?
Right now I've got a Sennheiser MKH-416, but I just upgraded to that. That's my big boy lifetime mic. It's a $1,000 microphone. And there are microphones that are better, but I found that a lot of L.A. studios are using that one for trailers. A lot of your big guys are using that. And I kind of was doing some research, and a lot of big names that I admired were using it. And they had even more expensive mics off on the side that they almost never pulled out.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, and I got a really good deal on it. There was a New Year's Eve sale. I think I got it for $600.
Surprised you're not pulling down endorsements and stuff now that you got that.
Sennheiser, the MKH-416. The microphone of choice for Five Nights at Freddy's star, Andy Field.
There you go.
So, and actually, Heather Masters in Five Nights at Freddy's uses that one as well. It's a great travel mic. It's a shotgun mic, you know, so it's directional. So road noise coming in from the window in your hotel room, a lot of times you can, it's going to be more minimal than if you were using
I used a shotgun because that air vent's blowing right into it, so you don't get the side.
Yeah, and you get your whole.
Although I have a fan blowing right into mine from the back.
Well, and at a big con, you know, you're going to have a lot of noise and stuff like that. So you did a good job on this, good choice. Before that one, I was using an Audio Technica AT2020 USB mic, so I didn't even have an interface to run my mic through. $100, $150 used. And that was really good to travel with, and it's still a good travel mic because, I mean, I recorded Five Nights at Freddy's on it.
Yeah.
I recorded a national commercial for Homewood Suites on it.
Yeah.
Right there from my house by distance with a studio. I used a software called Source Connect. So the studio on the other end is recording studio quality sound over the digital connection. It's amazing what we can do nowadays. I can record in a studio in L.A., and I'm not recording it and sending it to them. They're recording it.
Yeah.
From my house.
From your house.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I've now built a much better studio. I'm almost done. I've got drywall mud going up right now. So I'm about a week away from having a pretty 95% soundproof room.
Right on. Tell us about some of the other projects you're working on. There's probably some stuff you can't tell us, but is there any talks of another Five Nights at Freddy's?
Well, the talk right now is very sad. Scott Cawthon has said he's taking a break. Now, Scott is notorious for trolling his fans and pranking them and doing all this, which is really another thing that makes the franchise so fun.
Yeah.
He drops little hints in the HTML source code on his web pages. There are fans who check the HTML source code daily.
Oh, wow.
Right? Just thinking... But he came on and he said, I've just been overwhelmed with all this stuff. I've just let it get to me. I need to spend more time with my wife and kids. So, I was working on Five Nights at Freddy's 6, and I think I'm not going to do it. And I said, he's pranking everybody. I know he is. And then he came back on. He says, I wasn't clear enough. I know everybody thinks I'm pranking them. I'm really not. And so I think I believe him now that he's taking a break. But, I mean, he's got a lot going on. The second novel just came out. He co-authors it. The movie, Five Nights at Freddy's movie, is coming out next year.
Are you going to be involved in that?
Oh, I hope so. I hope I'm the young, handsome, romantic interest.
Well, you're going to have that.
Those of you listening on the podcast, I'm 46 and bald, so. But I'm awfully handsome.
You would have to have that narrator in the, well, it seems like
you would. If you read the books, I think the books are going to be a really, that's probably where the movie's going to go, because the books, I mean, the video game's you sitting in a security office trying not to get killed, you know, it's I don't know how much plot we could build.
I don't know how that would translate to film.
Movies that come off, movies that are based off video games tend not to do well.
Yeah.
But at least this one's got a couple of novels. And these are teen fiction novels, probably along the level of Goosebumps. I'm halfway through the second one, and it's pretty good. It's I'm a little bit on the edge of my seat a little bit. I'm wondering, there's all this mystery on who's doing these murders. Why are these things, why are these animatronics haunted? What's in them?
Yeah.
What's their motivation? Why are they wanting to kill people? There's always a reason why ghosts are haunting a place, right? And it's not going to be a Scooby-Doo ending where they pull off the mask. Old Man Smithers, it's going to be
meddling kids.
There's definitely some haunted, murdered children in these animatronics is what it is. So to make Chuck E. Cheese even more creepy, is the whole kidnapping. Somebody killed and kidnapped my kids out of this pizza place. So I think Five Nights at Freddy's 6 is on hold.
It's probably the reason, though. It will come back, surely.
I don't know how you can't, I like to email Scott pictures of diehard fans that I meet at the cons. When you meet a whole family who's dressed up in world-class cosplay from the sixth game, the one I'm in, you're just like, wow. And even the mom is trying to tell me her fan theories on who she think has done the murders.
Yeah.
I'm like, because normally most of the fans are 15, 14, some 8-year-olds.
They're trying to pick your brain for some inside scoop.
Yeah, they're like, so here's my theory. I think that Mr. Afton's son is Purple Guy. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. I know more about the game than most of the voice actors in the game, which is to say I know about a tenth of what most fans know when they come to my table. But there's fan theories. There's weeks worth of fan theories on YouTube on who's the killer, why are these animals here. There's theories that my character, the hand unit, has been programmed by one of the bad guys, and hand unit is actually bad. Because there is a point in the game where the advice you get from hand unit is wrong. Spoiler alert if you haven't played the game.
Watch out for that.
So the movie, Blumhouse is doing the movie. If you're a horror fan, Blumhouse did Get Out, Split, Insidious, Paranormal Activity, Sinister, and The Tooth Fairy, starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. But they mostly do horror films. I saw Get Out this year, and I thought, if those guys are doing Five Nights at Freddy's, it's going to be a good flick, man. I don't know if you guys have seen Get Out, but, man, it's awesome.
Awesome.
Worth watching.
What other kind of stuff is that kind of led into you to do? I'm sure it's afforded you the opportunity to do a bunch of other jobs.
It's really cool because, the bulk of my work is not glamorous. It's e-learning or it's your corporate narration for a video. But a lot of those guys, like an e-learning developer, a lot of those guys are nerds, too.
Exactly.
So in my signature block in my email, when they see that I'm a Five Nights at Freddy's voice actor, sometimes I'll get hired just because they want to hire the guy
that did,
so they can tell their kid.
I would, yeah.
I hired a Five Nights, will you do a video for my kid? Well, sure, Since hey, this is a video for Connor all the way in Seattle, Washington, and Sandy Field, all day long I'll do that. But it does help, because there's other video game studios that know, there's 4,000 ready-made Five Nights at Freddy's Twitter fans that are going to instantly want to be interested in another video game that I'm in. So that's a cool thing, too. But I'm in a video game coming up this year called Nilo. I think it's coming out next month. It's a science fiction, high-paced shooter, you know, but you get all those dramatic scenes in between levels, you know. And I can't say who I play yet. I'm not a major role, but I've got a few lines, and they're fun. You'll recognize my voice if you're... I kind of got a fake sort of half British accent and a thing, you know.
Oh, cool.
I channeled my Emperor Palpatine feel. It's not an impression, but I was envisioning him, kind of a grumpy, mean spirited, older fellow. So
evil wizard.
I can't tell you anything else about Nilo, but Nilo looks awesome. It looks like this. There's this race of aliens. And they've been invaded by another race of aliens and are kind of having to abandon their homes. So everybody's got these wicked-looking tails and big spiky horn helmets. And, you know, in the levels, it's really fast-paced, and you can pick up all these guns. And, you know, you know how excited you were when you played Contra?
Oh,
and you got a cool gun?
Yeah.
This is one of those where you pick up the cool gun, and you're like, yes, you know, I can shoot four bullets at once.
I hated it when I accidentally got the laser gun.
And then you got killed.
Yeah. That gun sucked. Why did they even put that in there?
Well, I liked it because you could kill, like, everybody on the screen. You
no, just the one that shoots straight out.
No, that one sucked.
That one sucked.
I played Contra the
other spreader, day. That was awesome.
I was at Raleigh Supercon, and they had a whole 80s game, console game set up, and I played Contra. And I was ticked off because I forgot on the console game you can't go up, up, down, down, left, right, left.
Yeah, you can't get select start.
You can't get infinite lives on the console game. And I realized I suck as bad at 80s games now as I did then.
Yeah, because you didn't get a lot of
quarters. You know.
Yeah, you get killed, you start over.
I lost 15 in a row on Mortal Kombat to Baraka before I finally beat him. I played every character in that game before I finally beat Baraka. You know, that sucker, and he's the most gruesome killer, you know, when he lifts you up in the air with the Freddy Krueger knife
just
hands.
Adds insult to injury.
Him, and you're sitting there all woozy, and he... Wouldn't that be cool to be the voice actor who said, finish him?
Oh, yeah. Man. I bet he makes a buck or two.
You'd get conventions all over the country.
But you would get so tired of...
Finish him. Oh, no, you're that guy.
You would get so tired of people coming up and going, say it. Say finish him.
Oh, it never gets old. You know, we would do a video where you could stand there all woozy with your head wobbling. And
yeah.
Like, finish him. And we'd do the signature move. What a great game.
That's awesome.
I suck at it.
Give us your social media plugs. Twitter,
okay, so on
Facebook.
Twitter, I'm at Andy Voiceover. Dadgum, I don't know what I am on Facebook because I've got two. I've got my personal one and I've got my voiceover one. I think it's at Andy Field Voiceover.
Okay.
Maybe. Or at Andy Field Voice Actor or something. Look for Andy Field Voice
Actor.
We'll link
it. We'll find it and we'll link it.
I'm on some of the other social medias, but you know,
I've got
a Pinterest board. You know, where you could look at all my... Well, it was cool. Another voice actor told me, go there. You could get a whole board for commercials, a whole board for video games, a whole board for corporate... So you can go there and see, like, all my categories and, you know, TV shows. I narrated a TV show on Cox Sports from New Orleans and all that. You know, and I'm on... I think I deleted Snapchat the other day. I'm old, so I can't figure out how to use Snapchat.
Snapchat.
Really, and you know, and I'm on Instagram. You know, you're welcome to find. I think it's andy.field.vo on Instagram, but Twitter is, you know, and if you follow me on Twitter, you can find all the other Five Nights at Freddy's voice actors on there too. They're all pretty active.
Is there anything mobile that I mean, it'd be hard to do something professionally mobile, but is the technology come far enough to where if you're in a hotel room and somebody needs something, you can do it on the fly?
Engineers can do miraculous things.
Yeah.
I've actually got a video on YouTube right now. 2 weeks ago in Hartford, I had a room on the fourth floor, and the road noise was really bad. And I asked them if they would move me from the street side to the riverside. So they put me on the 19th floor in a corner room. So then I had two windows bringing in road noise. But I had two beds. And so in the video, I've kind of panned the camera over, and you'll see I've totally disassembled a bed. I put a queen-size mattress in the window. Stuffed the gaps with pillows, stood the box spring up like a wall on my left, and then I have a mobile booth that I built out of PVC pipe and blankets.
Wow.
But because I'm in the Army Reserve, I can bring a pretty heavy suitcase, and they don't charge me extra for it because military usually gets... I think military gets 3 bags up to 50, up to 75 pounds each, even if they're not on orders, and 5 bags up to 100 pounds if they are on orders. You know, you got to carry all your body armor and helmets and stuff like that. And so I can carry a pretty heavy suitcase. So I set up my whole booth with blankets and threw a down comforter over that. And I had somebody told me I had a 59 noise ceiling in there, which I didn't know if that was good. And then somebody told me, well, you want in the low 60s for a professional booth. So that was So with a good bit of effort, I can construct a pretty good booth in a hotel room. But voice actors love to post pictures of their pillow forts.
Yeah.
You know, the ironing board and the luggage rack are crucial pieces of your construction when you're building an igloo out of all those pillows.
Yeah.
But I know a guy who recorded a union job for Disney with an MKH 416 in his room while his wife was in the other room taking a shower. And it wasn't an audition. It was a job.
Wow.
So with the right sound mixing and the right microphone and... Yes. And also, it depends on the job.
Yeah.
Like, you know, a lot of my clients won't know. It's all raw. The voiceover is the only thing in it. But if there's music in the background or whatever, then it's like singing. You know, you got music behind it anyway, so you can handle a little bit of room noise when you're recording singing.
Yeah.
But we want a lot deader for voiceover.
It's funny you mentioned that because during the summertime, in the room we record our podcast in, of course, we're going to have the air conditioner on wide open. Mm-hmm. And condenser mics just eat that up.
Yeah, they do.
And, I mean, you can see it. Like, you can see the air conditioner on the audio.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm not cutting that thing off. So I started putting audio, like, faintly in the background just to cover the air conditioner.
That's a good idea. And it probably sounds better anyway. I was recording in a Home 2 Suites. For the past 2 weeks, the Army had me at Raleigh, North Carolina, or in Fayetteville, North Carolina, in the Home 2 Suites. And I had a pretty good booth set up there, and I filled the window up with the cushions from the couch and all that stuff. But the refrigerator, when it would come on, was really loud. And so I would either turn the refrigerator all the way down, or I'd just pull it out from the wall and unplug it completely. So I'm sure the housekeeping ladies love
me. These condensers, they pick up everything.
Yeah, and the 416 is a condenser, even though it's directional.
Yeah.
And it'll still pick up a lot of background noise.
Did you do a panel this weekend?
I did. It was Voices Behind the Games or something. There was only... It wasn't a real big panel, but I talked about the games, and then people had questions. Some of the questions were about Five Nights at Freddy's. Some were about being a voice actor. Some were about, do you have any warm-up techniques? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. And so I do a Five Nights at Freddy's Q&A panel. I do a How to Become a Voice Actor panel. Coming up in Atlanta in a couple months, the three of us from the game are going to do a panel where audience members can get up, and we'll give them a script, and they'll audition in front of the whole audience.
Nice.
You can't do that at a small con, because if there's only 30 people in the room, you won't get anybody to come up to the mic. But in a room with 200-400 people, there will be people brave enough to, you know, they're like, I'm going to be a voice actor, and I'm going to read in front of everyone here, you know, and they've got a theater degree, and but public speaking is not everyone's thing.
Well, to close this out, if you don't mind, I'm putting you on the spot. I know you get this a lot, though. Would you mind doing us a quick line, like one of the famous lines from Five Nights?
Sure. Let's see. Welcome back to your last day on the job. That is the last day of your first week. Some of the qualities we like to look for in employees are fearlessness, determination, and a genuine disregard for instinctive self-preservation. You've earned your one-week bonus, which will be given to you in the form of a delightful gift basket. We have flowers, nuts, cheese, and the ever-popular cash basket. Using the keypad below, please enter the first few letters of the gift basket you would like to receive. It seems you had some trouble with the keypad. I see what you were trying to type, and I will auto-correct it for you. Thank you for selecting Exotic Butters.
Yeah, there it is. That's full circle there.
Man, every autograph has Exotic Butters on it. And every kid goes, yes, that's what they came for, man.
I can imagine every interview you do, they probably want you to do that.
You know, I've done whole panels before without saying it. And then on YouTube, somebody will post it on YouTube, and somebody will say, what? No Exotic Butters? Triggered, you know. I'm triggered.
It's kind of funny, though. Like, if you have a singer on, you don't say, like, hey, can you sing something for us? But if you have a voice actor, you're like, give us a line, come on.
Because, you know, you want that voice. So hang on. You don't have to put this on, but I will close with this. So last weekend at Raleigh SuperCon, I was not a guest. I was not a celebrity guest. Yeah. I don't even like using the word celebrity by myself. But I was just a ticket holder. They gave me a free VIP pass, which is cool. But I was sort of in costume. I was wearing a maintenance man shirt because you're a maintenance man in our video game.
Yeah.
So I was cosplayed as you, the player of the game. And I had a little tool belt, and I've got a little plastic hand unit, and I had him hanging in my tool belt. So if you look at me, I look like a normal maintenance man, except for that weird cartoon plastic thing hanging on the tool belt, right? So on occasion, there's game fans, and they'll notice, oh, that's cool. And then it says Circus Baby's Pizza World on the shirt because that's the pizza place. Or I would see people in costume from the game, you know, so I know they're diehard fans. So I would go up to them, and I would say, oh, so you like Five Nights at Freddy's? And they're like, yeah. I said, hey, you want to hear my hand unit impression? And I'm out on the middle of a floor with 20,000.
You do an impression of yourself?
So I'd be like, welcome to the first day of your exciting new career. And they all reach for their phones. Can I film that? That's like... You know, that's like taking a picture of a world-class cosplayer. Like, dude, that's spot on, right?
Yeah.
Like, well, in fairness, I am the voice actor. They're like, no, you're not.
I'm kind of that guy.
So I had a pocket full of autograph cards. And so nice. I just said, you know, if you're a fan, if I could tell you're a true fan on the floor, you get a free autograph. These are $20 a week ago at another con, but they're free today on the autograph floor.
That's
so
awesome.
And then, you know, then you put it up on Twitter. So I couldn't resist revealing myself. I probably should have just done it totally incognito, which I got the idea from Tara Strong, who cosplayed one time at a con as Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And Tara's a nice looking lady, and so she had some world class cosplay group do her up, and so she looked like, you know, people just took pictures with her all day long, not knowing that she was the voice actress for Harley Quinn.
Wow!
And so I said that's a cool idea. I'm going to do that. So
I don't think Mark Hamill could get away with that as the Joker.
He's actually walked around.
I think they might recognize him.
He's actually walked around at cons in a stormtrooper uniform, though.
Oh, you know, man!
And he'll like walk up to a panel and take his mask off, and he's Mark Hamill, and people are like, no way. So anyway, you don't have to put that in there, but that was.
I'd like to.
It was a cool.
That's a good story.
It was a cool event. You know, you get those every now and then, but you know, you're pretty anonymous as a voice actor. So
yeah, unsung heroes.
Unless you're at a con where you're guesting, and then every now and then someone in an elevator recognizes you because they came to see you.
Yeah,
I saw an 11-year-old in Hartford, and I climbed in the elevator, and there's all these people, and she's looking at me with this look like, oh my god. And then I noticed she's got on a shirt from the game, and she's holding a stuffed animal from the game.
Yeah,
I'm like, you know who I am, don't you? She goes, your hand unit. She said, can I take your picture? I said,
you got it. They don't call you by your name, but the name of the...
Right. You don't remember your voice acting, but we took a picture together. Well, anyway, this has been awesome.
Man, thanks for coming by. We should do this again. I know you're going to have a lot more projects coming up. You're right here in Mississippi.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're Mississippi boys, too.
And we can do it by Skype or whatever you want to do that, too.
That'd be awesome. Yeah, we can do call-ins. We can do whatever.
I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our good friends and sponsors of this show, Shadow Stalkers Paranormal, from Amory, Mississippi.
This isn't your average paranormal thing.
Shadow Stalkers is a nonprofit group that hosts fundraisers for families in need, and they also host fundraisers for historical sites.
Their fundraisers and paranormal investigations are open to the public, and they encourage everyone not to just watch, but to join in.
Look them up on Facebook and feel free to shoot them a message if you have any questions.
They are here to assist you with any paranormal needs you may have.
That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out. That's Shadow Stalkers Paranormal. Go search for them on Facebook and check them out.
And last but not least, Mr. Bill Moseley. What can I say?
Amazing.
Yeah. He's pretty awesome.
Yeah, he's a really chill dude. He borrowed our duct tape.
He did.
Michael Berryman rang our bell. Bill Moseley borrowed our duct tape.
And guess what else Bill Moseley left with?
A KillJ CD.
Yes, he did.
Damn it, where's the bell?
The Michael Berryman bell.
All right, I'm wondering if I might do it loud, though.
Yeah, me and him got to talk. Well, you'll hear it on the podcast. I don't want to talk about everything we're going to talk about and then talk about it, but... We got to talk. I didn't realize he did that thing. After he told me, I started remembering reading about it on Blabbermouth, Blabbermouth.net, the Bill and Phil thing.
Yeah.
Where him and Phil Anselmo started a band together and released some music. And after this interview, we're actually going to play a song from Bill and Phil. But yeah, he's really cool.
Lick my plate, you dog dick. Run, rabbit, run!
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to do that, and I told him to give us a bumper, you know, dude, yeah. Listen to Kill Pop Culture, and I was ready to hit stop, and he goes, now lick my plate, and I was like, man, that's from Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Right.
Yeah, that's, yeah, the
I
hardcore.
I feel like we did that.
Yeah, because he has a metal plate in his head,
right?
Yeah. And he was telling him to lick his plate. And I
didn't
even
that really well.
I didn't edit that out. I was like, you know what, I know we try to go for the, you know...
Rated
PG-13 thing, but... We'll let that slide because Bill Moseley get a cuss word in. Damn it.
He's pretty cool, though. I liked him. I'm friends with him on Instagram now. We're like big buddies now.
Yeah, he corrected her.
Yeah, he called me out.
I didn't know what
Instagram.
You were talking about until I went back and looked through because I thought you were kidding or something.
Yeah, no.
But you posted something about Bill Moseley and he puts in the comments, hey, you guys want to spell my name right?
Y'all need to learn how to spell my name. And I was like, shit. And then I was
he's watching us.
I went back and redid it and then I was like, man, when you make a mess up like that, all you can do is just lick the plate and be a dog dick.
All right. Mr. Bill Moseley, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
You're doing fine. Are you tired yet? It's been a long couple of days.
Yeah, I am, actually.
Breaking my chair.
Mention it. Thanks. Now you've given me that, mental suggestion. Now I'm exhausted.
And now you're aware of it. Have you done a lot of cons this summer? You've been hitting the road a lot?
I haven't, actually. I've just done, I think, a couple of them, a couple local ones out of Los Angeles, and one in Atlanta, Days of the Dead, back in January, and Days of the Dead again in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago.
Right on.
So,
right
yeah,
on.
It's fun.
Well, for the people out there that live under a rock, you're in a little movie that people have probably heard of. If they haven't been living under a rock, called House of a Thousand Corpses.
House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, the color remake of Night of the Living Dead, Repo, the Genetic Opera, and a little movie called The Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Yeah.
Devil's Rejects.
When you were a part of the franchise, the House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, when you were on set filming it, did it have the, what it felt like was going to be that underground cult classic thing that stands the test of time? Because that's hard to pull off nowadays.
It is, especially if you are intending to pull it off.
Yeah.
As cult classic and all that stuff. I think a lot of people try to. Everybody would like to have a cult classic that spins off. Four or five sequels.
Yeah.
That's called a franchise.
Yes, sir.
And, something like Saw, something like Halloween, Friday the 13th. People look at it. Chainsaw actually is turning into a franchise. But people, I think, really want that, especially the producers. They want to just have something that keeps giving forever and ever. It's kind of hard to come by. With House of a Thousand Corpses, I don't think there really was any thought of that, at least in my mind. I was just trying to remember my lines and hit my marks.
Yeah. Do you like doing just the horror stuff, or do you like to venture out, or does it just depend on the script?
I do a lot of different things, with the horror, I was doing a movie, actually it was called White Fang. It was an old Disney movie back in the early 90s. I was up in Alaska, and I was playing a character in that movie, and it's set in the Gold Rush, boy and his wolf, and all this kind of stuff, and Disney movie. And I was sitting there talking to an actor friend of mine, James Remar, who has been in a lot of cool stuff, including The Warriors and a lot of cool stuff. And I said to him, I'm afraid of getting pigeonholed as a horror actor.
Right, yeah.
And that's when he said, he looked at me with disdain, and he said, "You'd be lucky to be pigeonholed." I thought, okay,
that means
thanks,
you got work.
Buddy. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And, I love the horror genre, so, being pigeonholed as a horror actor is, perfectly fine with me.
Awesome. When's the last time you talked to Rob?
Oh, a couple, 3 weeks ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is there any chances of anything in that franchise happening in the future, or is that super secret?
Not that I know of. And if it were super secret, I would deny it anyway.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I was thinking, if you told me it's a secret, that would probably kind of confirm
exactly.
it, wouldn't it?
Yeah, right, wouldn't it?
You heard it here first, people.
Yeah, that's right.
That's cool. Well,
we're pretty fucking dead. at the end of Devil's Rejects, we did get, all three of us got shot by about 30 rifle rounds.
Yeah, it's just a scratch.
maybe we survived. Who knows?
It's just a scratch.
Yeah.
It's a movie. You can walk it off.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, money's thicker than blood.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, what else you got going on right now? You got anything you want to plug?
Nah, not really. I got married back in February of this year. Me for the first time. It was my girlfriend of 23 years, mother of my 18-year-old daughter. So it kind of took a while, but, I'm a little commitment averse. But I finally, said yes, or she finally said yes. I finally asked, I guess. Just had an album come out, an EP, like a short album, six songs with Phil Anselmo of Pantera.
Nice.
And Phil and I have a little group called Bill and Phil. And it's called Songs of Darkness and Despair. And you can get it on iTunes. You can get it on Housecore Records, Phil's
that
label.
That's freaking sweet.
So
I
that
didn't
was
even
very
know.
Cool. Yeah.
That is awesome. We're musicians too, so that yep. ties right in. Yeah. That's great. And it's out now.
It's out now, yeah. And doing okay, which is great.
What genre would you call it?
It's metal, rock, something. I don't know.
What are you playing?
I play the vocals.
Play the vocals?
Yeah, I sing, and I also I write the lyrics.
Nice. That yeah. is really cool.
And Phil does the music. I was surprised because when he wanted to get together and do that, I figured he'd be singing, if not all, then certainly some of the songs.
Yeah, for sure.
And now he said, you're the vocalist.
Yeah, I knew he played guitar and stuff, too.
Yeah, oh, he's great. He made some great music, too. So
that is really, really cool. Yeah. I look forward to checking that out.
Yep. And Bill and Phil.
And the Bill and
I
Phil
said, well, let's call it Phil and Bill. He goes, nope, Bill and Phil. Okay.
Right on. That's really cool. We'll definitely check that out.
And I had a band before. I used to do music. It was CDs, a bunch of CDs by Corn Bugs. And that was me and Buckethead, a famous guitar player. Buckethead, who wears a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket on his head, white face mask. He used to play with Guns N' Roses. And then I have another band called Spider Mountain, an album called No Way Down. It's all out there in the ether fuzz.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool.
I like to do that stuff.
I didn't know. So you're a big metal fan? You've been like metal your whole life?
I'm kind of a metal fan. I'm more of a, you know, an old metal fan, so I'm more like, you know.
The good stuff.
Judas Priest, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin.
Yeah. Nothing wrong
with
that.
I was a big Jimmy guy. I saw Jimmy in 1966 back in Chicago.
Awesome.
When he was touring, you know, the RU Experience, his very first album. Saw Jimmy, I was like 17. Had a couple of hits of Reefer.
And, was, the Devil's Lettuce.
Fucking amazing.
did you ever see a Catch a Pantera show? Is that how'd you come
to
the field?
Yeah, I did. I caught a Pantera show back in Long Beach, California. About 15 years ago. But I actually I interviewed Phil and he interviewed me for a music show called ArtistDirect.com, and so we interviewed each other. I was supposed to talk to him about, you know, movies, horror movies. He was supposed to talk to me about music, and turns out he knows a lot about music, and he knows a lot more about horror movies than I do. So I ended up kind of getting schooled by Phil, but we became good pals, and you know, had a lot in common, and we were kind of pen pals on the, you know, the emails, and then I kept kind of raising the subject of maybe getting together and doing some music, and I think he was kind of treating it like kind of like Paul McCartney being asked to play bass guitar in your garage band. It's like, oh well, yeah, someday, sure, hey, what the heck. So he kept kicking the can up the road, and finally I don't know, for some reason he just said, okay, look, I'm tired of all this, so if you can get down to where I live in Louisiana, I've got 4 days next week, and if you can do that, you know, get down here and, you know, we'll jam, check it out, you know, something might happen. So I did. I got on a plane, went down, drove to his place in the woods, Louisiana woods, and he's got a home studio. He liked the lyrics I brought down, and I don't know if he was a big fan of Corn Bugs or Spider Mountain, but, you know, I mean, he liked those lyrics, and he liked me, so he did the music for it, and I did the vocals, and, you know.
That is awesome. I look forward
to
it.
Boy, oh boy.
That.
You know.
Yeah. Where are you off to next?
Next weekend, I'm going back home to Los Angeles tomorrow, and then next weekend I'll be in Omaha, Nebraska, at the Alamo Draft House there, introducing the double feature of House of a Thousand Corpses and the Devil's Rejects.
Oh, nice!
Yep,
right on. Will you do a picture with us before you leave?
Yeah.
Photo op. We'll be right back.
Anthony, he's sipping on a Kill Pop Fresh Hot Pale Ale. We still got some of that beer we made. Is it better?
It's good.
Is it getting better with age?
Mm-hmm. I drink it.
You are drinking it.
It's my second one.
Yeah, you probably got a buzz now.
I got a buzz.
Stuff's pretty tight.
Yeah. I would be drunk if we would have had that great meal we had earlier.
We did have a good meal. Should we talk about that? If you think that we can eat. I think it's worth mentioning.
Yeah,
it's worth it. I'll pat myself on the back on that one.
You should.
Hey, did you get this? Was this your recipe or did you get it from...
One of them was my recipe. One of them we got off of.
It wasn't smoky ribs, though.
No, it's not smoky ribs, though. But one of them was my recipe. One of them was not.
Well, tell them about the
tenderloins.
I had a mushroom stuffed tenderloin and a apple and onion pecan stuffed tenderloin, and I had it coated with some homemade mustard that I made myself. And we cooked it on the grill over here, and it was
good.
Pretty scrumptious.
Yeah.
So it was raw when you brought it over? I thought you just heated it up.
It was pretty raw. It was raw when I brought it over.
It didn't take that long to cook.
No, it's some tenderloin, and I jelly rolled it. I didn't butterfly it. I jelly rolled it out when I rolled it up, so it was pretty thin. It only took about 30, 45 minutes to cook.
That's grown-up grilling right there.
It's grown-up grilling.
You know, when you're younger, you just throw hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill. Like, we get serious with stuff.
It's man food.
Food porn.
Cooking on the grill like a big old badass.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Just steal a line from somebody else.
What did you call that? That baker's rope or?
Butcher's twine.
Butcher's twine. That's what you tied
after it. Jelly rolled the meat out and rolled it back up, I had to tie it up where it wouldn't flop all over the place. So I just tied it up with some butcher's twine.
Nice. You know, it's funny. I think there's like part of our audience that thinks it's really cool when we talk about everyday bullshit. Like, you know, what I'm growing in my garden, what we're drinking, what we're eating on the grill. And then there's some people that are like, why do y'all...
What?
Nobody gives a shit about what y'all are eating.
I think most people are like, damn, I want to go hang out with those guys.
Yeah. I would hang out with
them. And eat food and drink beer.
I do, most of the time.
I mean...
Sometimes I just ignore y'all. But,
yeah. I'm not even going to lie. That was my first con that I done. And after the 2 days of that... I was all giddy when I got home.
Yeah.
I was telling Laura about it.
Yeah.
Your wife did you the same way mine did.
She was giggling at me because I was so giddy. I started looking for the next con.
Yeah.
No joke.
It gets into your skin in a good way. Like, it gets in your blood and it makes you want to do more.
Yeah.
Well, because that's where our listeners are. Like, 90% of the people at a con, Comic Con or a horror con or a sci-fi con, like, 90% of those people would be people that probably would or maybe should enjoy Kill Pop Culture.
I call them like-minded.
That's
people.
It's our focused target audience.
Yeah. That's what I call a like-minded people.
Yeah.
So.
And once again, and I get tickled about this because every con we go to, we have to defend our name.
Yeah.
Some people get it and some people don't. They're like, Kill Pop Culture, are y'all like against this stuff? I'm like, no, why would we be here? Like, they think some people think we're the Westboro Baptist Church of cons. Like, showing up at this place to protest, like, boldly.
I don't care if it says turd on it. If it's a sticker and you don't want it, there's something wrong with you. Stickers are awesome. And
they're free.
And everybody wants a free sticker.
We did have to convert some people, though. But once we explain it to them, they're like, oh, okay, I get it. But then some people get it right off the bat. They're like, yeah, I hate pop culture.
Yeah, I hate pop culture.
But they get it because, by definition, pop culture is... I relate it to pop music.
Right.
Like, it's what the industry is shoving down your throat. It's the it's what the masses, like... bubblegumly crave.
Right, exactly.
It's that poppy bullshit.
Poppy short for popular at the moment.
What, by definition, pop culture would be the Kardashians, Chris Lee Knows Best, who's wowing the red carpet, and... back in the day, comic books and Star Wars and Doctor Who, that was underground.
That was underground stuff.
That wasn't pop culture. That was subculture.
Right.
So... It's kind of taken this weird turn because the most popular TV show in the world is based on a comic book. The most popular movies on in the theaters are based on comic books. So now that's starting to become the mainstream. So I can understand a little bit
how the younger generation are confused.
The confusion. But it, you know, if you notice, the ones that get it are the older people.
Yeah, society flipped the script on us.
They did. They actually did.
But in the pop music scene, like, you know, you got Miley Cyrus twerking on somebody's junk at a...
The John Bear?
Yeah, what the crap? I don't know what that is. Yeah. Yeah, that's pop culture. And it's, you know, it's stuff mass media...
That's what we're against. We're not against Batman and that's our favorite stuff, you know, like comic books and just all the stuff that's at a con. But you do, like, and you can tell the look on their faces when they walk by and they give you this.
Right.
And you have to explain it to them. And again, once you explain it to them, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, let me get a sticker.
And this says it all because, like I said, I've been looking for the next con. I seen John Anderson that was on the show saying he's going to be at a con coming up. And it's called a pop culture con. It's called pop culture.
That's we need to go. Kill pop culture at a pop culture con.
That was my exact thought. That kill pop culture needs to be there. I mean, it's called pop culture. We'll kill
because pop. Here's the bottom line, and I had to be talked off the ledge a little bit because I actually, and if I don't know which episode it is, but we talk about how I thought about changing the name.
Yeah, you thought about changing the name.
I was going to change the name to Real Pop Culture because it kind of kept the same theme, but maybe smoothed over the confusion. And I'm not saying I would never do that if it's for the good of the show, but the thing is, it's a conversation starter.
Right.
And we get to interact with people one-on-one when they walk up and go, why do y'all hate pop culture? I'm like, we don't. Well, let me explain. And by the end of the conversation, they're a fan, potentially.
Right. Right. Even the person that didn't want a sticker took a sticker by the end of the conversation.
Hey, look, Mark took out of a page out of the book of Anthony while he was on vacation. You got the pictures, too, where he's leaving stickers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we did advertisement. That's all we're doing. We're advertising for ourselves.
I gave two stickers out last night.
You gave two stickers out last night?
Yeah, at work.
We gave away a bunch of stickers at HorrorCon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
Probably close to 200.
And
I'm just glad they got here, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. We picked up a lot of...
Hey, and if y'all win our HorrorCon package, you'll get a sticker.
Get a sticker.
I'll put two of them in there.
Two stickers.
Feeling generous.
Two stickers.
Two stickers.
Two?
You can put one on your car and one on your refrigerator. You notice I looked at the one on our refrigerator.
Right, you got one on your refrigerator.
Yeah.
Right.
All right, so make sure you stay tuned for episode 3.
This is two.
Make sure you stay tuned for episode 3 coming up.
Gotcha. Okay, my bad.
Coming up in a week or so, we'll have it out. It'll be the last one, but man, we got some great interviews on it too. We got Ari Mihaloff, Leatherface himself. That was a great interview. We got Josh TK Turner for Walking Dead. That dude's an absolute nut. He's insane.
He's insane.
And I think he's my new best friend.
Oh, yeah. I love some Josh Turner. He's cool.
I was cutting up. I mean, that was the highlight of the end of the whole con for me.
He's the guy that you're almost scared to take him to the party because of what he's going to do, but you certainly wouldn't leave him at home because of what he might do.
So
it's like either way, like, I'm not going to miss this. This guy's going to do something crazy. Yeah, by the end of the interview, like, he was bringing people in, like, hey, come here, get on this podcast.
We
just lose control.
He was probably getting a little bit of a candy rush, too, though, you know?
Yeah, he was eating all the trick-or-treat candy off our table.
I mean, a vendor from the next booth over opened the curtain and said, y'all are cracking me up.
He did. Like, the guy behind us.
He couldn't even sell anything because we was distracting him.
Oh.
But he's like, get over here and get in this thing, then.
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess that's all I had for this episode. Can I ring the Michael Berryman bell?
You sure can.
Yeah, I think you should.
I
think you should do it. It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Had a nice touch.
Nice touch.
And then you dampened it.
I dampened it. I need a little mute.
Yeah.
I need a little mute on there.
You just rang the same bell Michael Berryman rang.
I did. He shot for it too.
No, no, he was like excited.
He was like, ooh, a bell. I'm hitting that.
And then giggled.
What is that?
And then giggled. He thought it was so freaking hilarious that he did that.
Alright, we're still recording, but that's all I had.
Awesome.